Let's turn in the Bible together to Exodus 9. Continuing our study of the plagues on Egypt, coming this morning to plague number 7 of hail. And after the last plague or two, when the economy was decimated, I don't know how to explain here that it was decimated again, that the farming economy collapsed after it had already been wiped out by grasshoppers. And just, I think one thing it points out, here I am, I haven't even read the scripture yet, but how bad this was. How total the plagues were on the land of Egypt, which makes God's purposes in the plagues all the more important for us to hear. All the more important that Pharaoh should have and didn't, but for us that we will hear. We're going to read verses 13 through 35 of Exodus 9, and before we do that again, let us bow to pray. Lord God Almighty, as we take up the holy book again, we ask that you would give us ears to hear your voice this morning. Pharaoh saw what your mighty hand did, and yet his heart was heavy and hard. Work in us that ours will not be, that ours will be soft and receptive to your word, and give you praise as our God, our Lord, through Jesus Christ. And so speak to us through your servant, forgive his sins, for they are many, and show us Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. Exodus 9, beginning at verse 13, hear the word of God. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Much loved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, by now the plagues are sounding familiar, right? The Lord sends Moses to Pharaoh with a threat. The plague comes and bad things happen, and Pharaoh repents sometimes, but not really. The first nine plagues come in three series of three. And then the tenth stands alone as the culmination of God's wrath. And it is the plague that finally releases the people from Egypt. There are similarities in the three threes. Each group of three begins the same way. So 1, 4, and 7 begin with Moses going to Pharaoh in the morning. But not just going. Verse 13, he stands before Pharaoh. That is to say, he stands against Pharaoh. He confronts him. More and more, this is war. It is conflict between the Almighty God of the Hebrews and the false gods of Egypt. And each group of three begins with an extended warning. Remember, the first one was blood. The fourth was flies. The seventh now is hail. And each begins with God giving a long warning, which is to say he gives long mercy. An opportunity for Pharaoh again to repent and turn. There are differences between the three threes as well. The first of the three begins with water, the second with land, the third with the sky. But more importantly, the first three affect the Egyptians' comfort. And then the Lord ratchets things up. The next three affect their possessions. And the last three, life itself. Climaxing, of course, with number 10, death to the firstborn. So we're beginning today the third series of three. That's significant. Because with this third series of three, God's restraint begins to lessen. Verse 14, for at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart. If Pharaoh thought maybe things were going to let up, if maybe he thought he could win against this Lord God, whoever this was, the true God is telling him that's not so. True, Pharaoh has not yet surrendered even one slave from the Hebrews. He has not apparently weakened under the assault nor crumbled under the attack against him. But that's not because Pharaoh is so strong. It's because God has been merciful to him. But God is not finished yet. Pharaoh has not yet faced the full fury of God's wrath. God has restrained himself. But that restraint is going to decrease. No one, not the king of Egypt or the king or president or ruler of any nation since then to this day, no one can stand against the Lord God unless the Lord sustains him in his rebellion. And Pharaoh's time is short. Another thing we see in this last series of three, the hail, locust, and darkness, is by blitzing Egypt with plagues from the sky, hail, locust, and darkness, the Lord is making mockery of Egypt's sky gods. We've seen that with each plague, God is ridiculing the Egyptian god that was supposedly in charge of that particular area of life. Now he takes three at a time. Nut represented the sky and the heavens. Shu was believed to hold up the sky. Tefnut was the goddess of moisture. And they are exposed as frauds. With that background and introduction, let's look at the seventh plague in particular. The setting, first of all, is in verses 13 through 21. Two parts to the setting. The first part is God's purposes here, verses 13 through 17. In verse 13, the Lord said to Moses, "Take your stand against Pharaoh." And then 14, "For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that, or so that, you may know that there is none like me in all the earth." There are four purposes in all the plagues. We've seen those before. I won't quiz you on those, but it's handy that in the seventh plague, all four of them are revealed. So we're going to follow through this passage all four of God's purposes in all the plagues. The first purpose we just read in verse 14, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. There is no one like God. And so the beginning of that verse is significant. The Lord God of the Hebrews says, "I will send all the plagues against your heart." Egyptians believed that their Pharaoh, their king, was a god. He was perhaps the boss of all the other 80-some gods. And his heart was the basis of their society. His heart was the source of human progress. And that's why Moses in verse 17 says, "You're still exalting yourself." Pharaoh continued to believe, despite his country in shambles, he still held that he was God, not the God of the Hebrews. But the true God, the Almighty One, the Holy God, who is unique, set apart, alone, as no other can be, has as one of his purposes in the plagues, and the one we see today, to teach Egypt and their false gods and their false ruler god, that Pharaoh, along with the others, is a fake. God alone is God. Verse 15, now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up. Here's purpose number two. That I may show my power in you. So first, that Pharaoh would know there's no other God but the true God, the God of the Israelites. The second one, that God would show his power in him. Pharaoh was ruler of Egypt not primarily because he was born into it. That's the way it worked then, like royalty in Great Britain today, for example. He wasn't ruler primarily because he fit in with all the other gods. The Lord brought this man to the throne so that the power of the Lord would be revealed to him. And the power of the Lord would be revealed through him to others. In Romans 9, Paul quotes this verse. And it's interesting to see the context. In Romans 9, the context is God's sovereignty and God's mercy. Romans 9, verse 17. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Pharaoh, you see, served God's purposes, that he would show his power to Pharaoh. And through Pharaoh. Purpose number three, continuing in verse 16, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. In other words, the glory of the true God would be shown throughout all the earth. The Israelites would never forget this. God made sure of it. Let me show you why I say that. Some years later in Deuteronomy 6, we read, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand and shows of sign and wonder, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Psalm 78. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle to hail and their flocks to fiery lightning. So the Israelites remembered these plagues and the Exodus because God reminded them in further words of Scripture. And then the words of the plague spread to other nations. Without the internet, without a telephone, God made sure that the word got out. For example, when the Gibeonites met with Joshua, they said to him, we have heard reports of the Lord and all he did in Egypt. When the Ark of the Covenant entered the Philistine camp many years later, the people in the camp said, woe to us! Who will deliver us from this mighty God? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Not only God's people remembered, but God's enemies were afraid because word had been spread. The plagues made God famous. The plagues were part of God's missionary effort to glorify himself and to draw people to himself, and it worked. In Exodus 12, just a page over, we read of the Passover feast, and Lord willing, we will in a few weeks. And plague number 10, and the escape of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And in chapter 12, verse 38, a mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. The striking words there are mixed multitude of people. That means it was the Jewish people, of course, the Lord brought up, but also some of the Egyptians. Some of the Egyptians who took to heart the lessons that God had proclaimed in the plagues. Some of the people we meet in heaven are going to be these Egyptians. The ones who brought their cattle in obedience to the Lord in Exodus 9. I think that's cool. I like that. That's what mixed multitudes means. Those whom God drew to himself through these plagues. So that's part of the setting, God's purposes. And there are more purposes to come. But the second part of the setting is in verses 18 through 21, a word of warning and mercy. Verse 18, "Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now." For one thing, from what I have studied, it rarely rains in Egypt, and it never hails. And here, the Lord says it's going to do both, like Egypt has never seen. This is not the storm of the century. This is the storm of a couple thousand years from Egypt's founding until this date. They have never seen anything like this because it has never happened before. The harshness of this coming storm reflects the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. And yet, even here, there is a word of mercy. You may recognize the word because we've seen it already in previous plagues. The word is tomorrow. Tomorrow, the storm will come. Tomorrow gives Pharaoh time to repent. Tomorrow is God's mercy to the man. What Ezekiel wrote later is true for Pharaoh and for us, for people then and for now. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel?" The Lord's will, the Lord's desire for Pharaoh is that between today and tomorrow, he would turn. Verse 19 begins, "Therefore send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field. For the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die." The beginning of that verse is another offer of mercy. God is saying, you don't have to lose everything. Go get your livestock, bring them inside, and they will be safe. It's an offer of mercy and it's a test. Would the people who hear this believe Moses? Well, we see the result, for many at least, in verses 20 and 21. Some did, some didn't. Some believed that the true God was speaking to Moses and they obeyed, and some did not. Verse 20, he who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. That's God's word of warning and mercy. And between today and tomorrow, you have to wonder how Pharaoh slept that night. And then the plague, beginning in verse 22. In Egypt, it was bad. Thunder and hail and fire darted to the ground, verse 23. And hail and fire mingled with hail, verse 24. The hailstones were ice bullets and cannonballs. And the fire may have been actual rolling balls of lightning. It may have been fire, self-perpetuating fire that didn't have or need fuel to burn because it burned at God's command. Verse 25, and the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Even if you have experienced crop loss, this goes much, much farther than that. All the crops, except the wheat and the spelt, according to verse 32, every garden, all the livestock are gone. And all the neighbors' crops and gardens and livestock are gone. Everything in the whole country, except for those who feared the word of the Lord, verse 20. Except for those who brought in their servants and livestock, everything else was gone. And I don't know how a collapsed economy could get any worse, but it did. I don't know how an agricultural society that was already in chaos could get any more chaotic, but it did. Hail and fire, so very heavy, verse 24, that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And God's message, one of them, to Pharaoh and to all who would hear was, now, where are your gods, Egypt? Nut, the goddess of the sky, but where is she when hail and fire rain down? Shu supported the heavens, and Tefnut governed moisture. But where are they? Isis and Seth were gods of the crops, but now the crops are ruined, and the gods are exposed as frauds. Only in the land of Goshen, verse 26, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. God protected his people. God put an umbrella over that corner of Egypt so that his people were safe and secure and untouched. God displayed to the Egyptians and to Pharaoh that those people are different because they bend the knee. And unlike a previous plague, this time Pharaoh didn't need to send anyone out to see what happened in Goshen. He knew it would be a waste of time. There was no plague. And he knew that in his heavy heart. And then the aftermath of this plague, the setting, the plague, and then the aftermath beginning in verse 27. First of all, Pharaoh's sin and Moses' intercession at verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. Pharaoh's sin is obvious. We've been reading of that. We've been watching him these last few chapters and several plagues. But he adds to it here. He adds to his sin when he says, I have sinned this time, as if the other times he hadn't. Plus, we see his heart harden again. His confession doesn't come from or lead to true faith. In fact, it seems that all he did was regret the damage that had been done without repenting of his sin that caused it. Does that sound familiar? We've been there. Regret getting caught at something, but not really repenting of the sin that drove it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses that issue. He speaks of murder, but the heart issue is anger that caused it. He speaks of adultery and the heart problem of lust that caused it, and James. James describes how sin begins on the inside, and if left to grow, comes outside to spiritual disaster. James 1 at verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Then Moses' intercession and God's fourth and final purpose for the plagues. Verse 29 of Exodus 9. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. He ended the plagues so that Pharaoh and the Egyptians would know that their gods do not control the sky and the moisture and all the rest, that God does. The seventh plague and all the others showed God's power over the world he created. There's a connection in the Hebrew language between verse 22, every herb of the field, and Genesis 1, verse 11. The creation account is in Genesis 1, and verse 11 begins, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed. Genesis 1, the creation of herbs and seeds and all of creation. And Exodus 9, the destruction of that. What God is doing in the plagues here this morning, we see, is de-creating. Why? So that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But Pharaoh didn't get it. He heard time and again that the earth was the Lord's, but he still thought he was boss. And so the rest of the chapter, Moses' insight when he says, I know that you will not fear the Lord God, and Pharaoh's greater sin when the storm stopped, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, shows that Pharaoh didn't learn anything from what God was teaching. Not in this plague, not in any of the others. Let's review quickly those purposes. In verse 14, there is no one like the Lord. Verse 16, the power of the Lord at work. Verse 16, the name of the Lord will be declared in all the earth. His glory will be known. And fourthly, the verse 29, the earth is the Lord's. Now let's circle around to the beginning and be reminded that with the seventh plague, we turn a corner, a hard turn toward death. From this point on, events can only move in one direction, one terrible direction. So much about the seventh plague calls us to pay careful attention to God's words of warning and his several expressions of mercy and the response of faith we saw on the part of some of those Egyptians who obeyed and believed. There are two and only two responses by anyone to if you've heard the word of the Lord, believe and obey, or not believe and rebel. On this side of Exodus and Calvary, the first option means hearing Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, and entrust ourselves to him. When Jesus says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We say, that's me. By God's grace, I believe. And then when he calls us to put off anger, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and put on kindness, humility, meekness, to bear with one another and forgive one another, we respond in prayer, help me, Jesus, to obey in gladness. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with the mind of Christ. The second option, those who do not take his word to heart, will be, as Philip Ryken has said, crushed under the hail of God's wrath. And that we read of in Revelation 16. At the end of time, the seven bowls of God's wrath will be poured out. And we read in Revelation 16, verse 17, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. And verse 21, and great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Pause here. Some translations say 100 pounds. Hailstones of 100 pounds. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. The judgment is coming. There is no question of that. history is moving forward to its appointed end because the Lord is at work and his name will be declared in all the earth. Paul writes in Philippians 2 that God has exalted Christ and given him the name that is above every name, and every knee shall bow, and I'll add willingly or unwillingly, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, from the glory of heaven or the agony of hell, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Run to Jesus. If you hear the voice of God in your soul this morning, then run to Jesus and rest in the joy of who he is and what he has done at Calvary, and then sing with the saints, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one." What a day that will be. Let's pray together. Mighty Lord, gracious God, speed the day when Jesus returns. Gather in all your elect, and by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, cause us to be faithful to your call upon us to live in the joy and the demands of your will, in the joy of our Savior and in the strength of your Holy Spirit. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus, for your glory we pray. Amen.